You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Ashley Parrish. I am joined by my co-host, Jessica Pfeiffer.
Hey there.
And Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everybody.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing teens and sports and extracurricular activities. Jessica, you and I have talked about this several times.
Yes.
And it's something that we continue to talk about. We have different aspects to this because my children are so much younger, so there's not really an opportunity for them to be involved in things, whereas your kiddos are all older, and so there are several opportunities and activities for them to be a part of.
Yes. And, you know, honestly, I think there's different ends of the spectrum or continuum here with the amount that parents can give, the amount that parents can spend toward extracurricular activities, the amount of time that they have, whether they work full-time jobs outside of the home or whether they're more available to be there for driving and things like that after school. So families, each family is different. But honestly, at this point with my kids' ages and their activities, I am totally exhausted. I'm in the car all evening and much of the weekend. I want my kids to have these opportunities, but it comes at a great cost. You know, I know that sometimes my sanity suffers, sometimes my marriage suffers, and my friendships and the hobbies and things that I'd like to pursue suffer. And so I know that I'm lacking boundaries here because I can't figure out exactly what the right place is for our family. And it changes each season, depending on what sports and activities they're in. But I also fear, I have this fear of my kids having too much free time and ending up wasting their best years playing on video games or staring at their phones or lacking purpose and connection with other people. So it's like out of fear, I'm swinging this extreme opposite direction of allowing them to do too much. I just need to find balance in this and figure out what that is. And each family is going to be different, of course, but I hope that we can try and decipher some of that today.
Mm. Right. Well, I always feel like I'm the odd man out. And oftentimes I am just because I have seven children. Not many people have as many children as I do. So our rule with us, and it's really because the number of children we have is one or none. They can choose one activity or they can do none because we can't allow everybody to be in everything. There's just not enough. Yep. There's not. You know, Brett and I, there's no way Brett and I could get everybody to where they wanted to go if they chose more than one activity.
Right. And even one activity that costs a lot or costs a lot of time, like baseball, which is six nights a week.
Right.
You couldn't do that with three or four children in that sport.
It's
that
would be impossible. Six nights a week?
It is six nights a week. In our area, I don't know about every area, but I would think that most areas would say it's six nights a week for baseball. And that's a very extreme situation. Some sports are, you know, three or four nights a week, but six nights a week for baseball.
In South Texas, baseball is almost like a religion.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's intense.
Mm-hmm. And it's year round. So how do we figure out balance in this? And, you know, it's so different from what I grew up in. The culture and the expectations and the opportunities that we have are so different than when I was growing up.
Well, let me jump in because I've been listening to our podcast and this is, I think, one of the most important themes that Feeding the Mouth podcast gets at that I'm not sure I hear anywhere else. Because what you're talking about is something that parents of all age children completely recognize and certainly sympathize with. But there is a difference in the goals and how you parent and deal with extracurricular activities with teenagers than the way you deal with it with children. And I think that's extremely important as to why we're doing this, because I think you guys probably have a fairly clear idea of what you want to accomplish with your children in sports. Like Ashley's saying, you know, one and done, which is part of really making sure they recognize their role in the family and not over entitlement. And, you know, that it puts sports in a proper place. Parents certainly use sports to talk about character development, that you need to be a good sport, all these things. But the question for us is, if you just keep doing that same stuff, lecturing, reminding, and treating teenagers just like you did sports and activities when they were children, is that going to continue to be effective? And obviously the answer is no, it changes. So you really need to rethink some of the overall goals in your intervention because they're teenagers.
And I think it really is different for a young teen and the amount of involvement that I have to have as a parent in their sports and activities, driving them to and from, versus right. my junior or senior in high school, where they're driving themselves to and from practice or the school. They have a little more freedom. I can leave them alone at the field. I don't have to stay and hang out and wait right. for them to be finished. So I think it really matters their age and how we're treating them.
And another reason to tell your 16-year-old, why don't you have your license? It is so weird that teenagers now so often don't seek to get their driver's license right mm-hmm. off. And I have to actually encourage parents. Remember, well, this is a different topic, but having your license doesn't mean I'm going to let you drive anytime you want. But getting that license can also mean I'm not driving you to practice. Drive yourself to practice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Dr. Ken, what if we have teenagers that want to be in several activities, but it's just not going to work with the family schedule or financially? You know, the family just can't afford all of those activities.
Well, yeah, I think that's an important thing that you bring into one of the things you bring into the discussion with teenagers that you might not necessarily make a big deal out of it with children. And that is your activities cost us money. So making them a part of that value of it has to be part of them. The example in my family, because Wilguses are not high athletic people, but my girls danced really well. And so when my oldest daughter was getting further into dance in high school, she was, you know, we weren't sure how important is this to her now, but she was, you know, still wanting to sign up for these competitions on weekends. And we, I remember my wife and I talking about, you know, should we keep allowing this? I mean, I don't want to take that away from her. And then I finally came up with the genius idea of, you know what, these things cost us like $300 a pop or whatever it was. So I just told my daughter, I said, look, if they're important, that's great. I'll go halvesies with you. If you pay half, I'll pay half. And then you can keep doing them. And suddenly these things weren't as important to her anymore. It gave her a different perspective on how important it was. And I would think it helped her to decide whether this was that important to her because, you know, she had to kind of share some of the finance. That's the same thing with quitting a sport or whatever. With children, you know, you're trying to build the character development that we don't quit. You stick with that. No matter what, you finish the season. That's your commitment. That's good parenting. Mm-hmm. And it's good parenting even into early adolescence. But like everything else, surely there will come a point while they're still living with you that you will leave that choice up to them, like junior, senior year, if they want to stop a thing they've already started or whatever. But then comes the issue of realistically saying, look, if you quit this, I'm out $800 in equipment here. So you're mm-hmm. going to need to compensate me. That's very grown-up talk and helps adolescents, I think, to put sports and other activities into perspective rather than a kind of an entitled expectation they've had ever since they were five that if I want it, my parents will do whatever it takes to get it, right? Mm-hmm. Not your entire upbringing here with us. There'll be a change in that.
I think that's a really important transition that I hadn't really thought much about is that, you know, a lot of the time the cost comes to me, not necessarily my kids, either financial cost or time cost of them being in these activities. So putting some of that burden back on them to kind of test the waters, how committed are you to this? You know, if you have to pay the cost of it, or if you have to contribute in some way to our household because I'm having to sacrifice so much of my time,
right.
You know, driving back and forth to practice. Now you're going to mow the lawn on Saturday so I can have a break. You know, some sort of exchange where they say, no, I really love this. This is important to me. And I kind of know what they really value.
And that also gets at the other change in sort of the motivation for sports, especially, but other activities is, you know, when our children are little, we talk to them like they're future Olympians or future professionals, you know, like, this is so great. You're amazing. And that's fine. That's totally great. Musicians is very similar. But by adolescence, especially by mid-adolescence, it's very appropriate to be talking to them about what is your plan for this thing in your life? Are you going to carry this into college. For example, there's a difference between an athletic kid that is in sports because it's part of their sort of avocation. It's the group they're with. It's and that's great. But some kids are going to actually need this and want this as a scholarship opportunity. And that's important to encourage them. But it also means some of your kids, it's not wrong to tell a teenager, yeah, this is great, but dude, you know you're not the best at this, right? I mean, that sounds horrible to say to a five-year-old. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to prop up their little self-esteems. But a 15 and 16-year-old should and usually is making a more realistic evaluation of what is the purpose of this in my life, since it's not going to be my profession or my even up, you know, may not be able to do this in college. Those are important things to also keep in mind. So not just the financial investment, but also helping to consult with them about what is the real place of this activity in your life as far as future after you're done with high school.
Dr. Kent, how much is too much for our older teens for as far as activities? They want to be involved in so many things. How much is too much?
I think that up, like Jessica mentioned, up until they're driving, how much is too much is probably similar to the same thing it was when they were children. How much is too much includes the very honest discussion of that's too much money for us, or that's too much time, and we don't have it. But with teenagers, it may include inviting them to have creative solutions to that, like that's too much for us, but you're welcome to use your Christmas money on it if that's something that important to you. Or even you can sign up for that thing if you can get someone to get you to and from practices. You know, you might allow for a little more flexibility in that. But basically, it's very appropriate for our teenagers, just like with children, to make sure that we give them a message that you know, is not over-entitling. This is not all about you. We're not all about your little support staff, and that's good for them to hear. So I think how much is too much stays the same even into early adolescence, but with a little more flex for if you can find a way to fill in the blank, then we're cool with that.
Okay, so there are several families I know that have encouraged their kids through sports. They've gotten to about 9th or 10th grade, and suddenly the kid doesn't make the team. It's heartbreaking.
Right.
They lose all of their identity because it's been wrapped up in this activity, whether it's sports. And I like to say that we're using sports as an example, but that includes music and other activities outside of school. So this could be karate. This could be music lessons. This could be anything where they suddenly don't make the team, don't make the orchestra, don't make the special band, whatever it is. And they're not sure what to do with their lives. Or, you know, another kid that may be just totally unmotivated to be involved in anything other than video games or staring at a screen. And so you're very concerned as a parent, like, why isn't my kid involved? Or how do I get my kid to be involved in something new because they've invested all their time in this one thing that's now gone? What is your recommendation?
Okay, that's a really good question that brings in kind of two different things. The first is how heartbreaking it is if your kid goes to one of these really big high schools. You know, you've got to be practically professional level to be on the team. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard, especially for Christian families. I think that's an important part of helping to, again, this is advice giving, not lecturing, because teenagers mm-hmm. don't want to be lectured. But really, you know, you take, for example, not making the team. And it's an important opportunity to ask your teenagers, so have you prayed about this? What do you think this means in your life? What is God saying to you in this that you aren't on the team? Sometimes it may mean to your teenager that I really need to work harder. This is my thing. I'm going to do it. Well, that's great. But I do think it may surprise parents to hear that it's not wrong to also encourage them to consider that maybe this is a sign that this sport needs to be something you do as part of your social life, your individual development, which could be, for example, a club team. There's lots of other options that aren't necessarily in your school. Mm-hmm. But to really openly talk about that, yeah, it is disappointing, but it's also part of how God tells you who you are and what you're going to be about. Mm-hmm. And taking that into account. Again, that really needs to be advice giving. We've talked about that before, and not a lecture. So then that gets to the last thing I'll touch on, which is when you talk about, what about the kid that quits everything and isn't doing anything? And that's not good. And I think it's there's a big difference between making your kid do this sport or whatever, because teenagers will prove you wrong. They will get themselves kicked off the team or whatever, versus giving them a certain amount of freedom that says, look, you know, I don't know what it is you need to be about, but you can't be on in nothing. You have to be in some activity that takes X amount of hours per week minimum, or we're not going to let you have video games. That sounds a little harsh, but it's, in other words, it's like you make your own choice about what thing you're involved in that involves other human beings. And by the way, a video game that you play with other players is not involvement with other human beings. That's involvement with a screen. And even when they tell you, but, you know, I'm going to be on a professional league. No, you're not. No one makes any money doing that. Oh, yeah. Anyway, you know what I mean? So you can give a teenager the freedom to not sign up for the team that I didn't make or whatever. But you have to be in some activity. And if you choose not to, then I'm yanking the fun stuff here at home, because I'm not going to support you sitting around doing nothing through your high school years.
So any kind of activity, Dr. Ken, like even volunteering at a food pantry or something, would that be?
Well, okay. Something, usually something that involves involvement with other people. So a club at school, and this is where I think churches can be helpful. You know, we have youth ministers that are professional cool guys, and so you can, you know, supposedly call this woman or call this man that's the minister and, you know, seek options maybe that are even not school related. But the minimum usually is you have to be out of this house and involved with other human beings for at least this many hours per week. You can't make them be interested in something, but you can, I think, be pretty confident that we're not going to support you being a slug around the house and accomplishing nothing with other human beings. That's just not acceptable.
And it's so important too, that our kids are always in the mindset, and we are as their parents, of contributing to those around us, you know, whether it be being the guy behind the sound equipment at church, you know, doing that sort of thing, or lights or whatever, or being the person that's helping at an aftercare program for kids, something that they're contributing in a way that's fun for them, that they see that they have purpose and potential. And it also leads them to kind of figure out what they're really good at, what they love for their career.
That's
right. Just helping them to decide how that plays out in their life.
And by the way, when I mentioned requiring them to be in an activity, I obviously mean up until at some point, like senior year, that you're not going to control that at, you know, all the way through. So they have to have some period where they're in control. So you may have a senior sitting around as a slug, and because you need to be kind of prepared to talk with them about that before they leave your house. But there's, I have no problem with you requiring sport, activity, something up, you know, at least through their junior year. That's fine.
Dr. Ken, this might be a hot button, but I want to ask for myself personally, as our teenagers get older and they're involved in activities, how much room do parents have to require their children to still attend church with them on Sundays? So like if they want to be part of an activity that is on Sundays or Wednesday nights, what kind of conversations can we have with our teenagers to let them know in advice-giving way that church isn't an option, like we're still going to go to church. It's still a priority for us.
All right, that's a great question. I just talked about that at a seminar that I was teaching. Because, you know, the standard answer fits if you know anything about planned emancipation, which is what Feeding the Mouth That Bites You is all based on, then you know that the general answer is you can go from very confidently requiring you have to go to church up until, you know, some stage of adolescence where you can say, well, you have to go to church, but you don't have to go to our church. It has to be a Christian church somewhere. And then certainly by some point, spring of senior year at least, then you also need to let that go and say that's between you and God. So that's the so that you can still, you know, talk with them about it. That's the standard thing. Now you have this other thing, which never happened in my lifetime, which is I pass ball fields full of families and kids on Sunday morning.
Yes.
What? What? Mm. So families will differ on that. I have no problem with a family that says, then you got to go to church Saturday night, because a lot of churches are flexing to that. I think that's fine. But I'll tell you my preference. I really think in an ever darkening world that our religion is not controversial as much as it is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good sign of that, where how can people sign up? I've had kids with ball games on Easter morning.
Yes.
So I would strongly encourage parents to consider, again, like Orthodox Jews have done for decades, that I think in a very important way of saying this is a serious thing for us is, I'm so sorry, but you can't be in a sport that plays on Sunday morning. That's what we do as a family. That is our faith. I think that's a meaningful thing to really consider. But again, that's not math. I don't think that's required. If you want to say you still have to go to church, but if you're going to play on Sunday morning, you got to go Saturday night, that's fine. I just worry that this is just another step where Christianity is fine, whatever you want to do with your little religion, but obviously it shouldn't interfere with the most important things in life, which is our kids developing their athletic skills. I think that's a huge problem. I really do. So that has really complicated things. And seriously, I don't remember this at all before 5 years ago. No one did this, but man, it's really hard. So it is hard for parents,
right?
But I think specifically when you're talking about church, what better way to really personally evaluate how important is our faith and with real conviction.
Right.
So in the same vein, what about family time? I know there have been times where I've said, okay, kids, everybody's going to stay at home on Friday night. We're not doing all of these other, you know, friends activities and things
right.
like that. Just because I need some family time. Like, I want us all to be together.
Right.
So do you say the same thing? And I'm guessing, if I were to guess, you're going to tell me that by the time they're a senior, they get to choose.
We don't like that answer.
No, I'm going to make it worse. I think senior is too late. You can make some family time required, mm-hmm. but I think that's one of the things you can absolutely signal that everyone, we got it. We're having game time Friday. Son, you're 14, so you can choose if you want to or not. I think I would do that earlier rather than later. Mm-hmm. But you can reserve, you know, some of the family time you got to be there for. But try to find some period that, you know, the little kids got to stay, but the older one can go. And watch that. Yeah, listen, here's the thing to remember. It doesn't mean that your young teenager is not going to be a part of it. They may choose to do it. It's much easier for them to choose to do it if they know that they can say no.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, also remember that with a 14, 15-year-old, all you can get to family time is your teenager's carcass. I mean, they will sit there like a lump. You know,
arms crossed.
They won't bring their soul with them.
Right.
And then you're stuck with the stupid stuff of, hey, that's not a good attitude. And what are you going to do? You can't win that. You look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So you do much better, you know, with this surly teenager going, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. This is optional for you. Why don't you take off? Because you're kind of wrecking it for the rest of us. And then your 10-year-old can enjoy, you know, your 8-year-old, because they like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely try to pick as early as you feel comfortable to start making some of the family things. Even we have to go visit Aunt so-and-so. I know, no one likes it. Oh, by the way, you don't have to, but the rest of us do. Yeah, start to find the things you can let go of. Because, mm-hmm. again, the part that so many parents don't recognize is when you let go of that, that doesn't mean your teenager is going to just not be a part of things.
Mm-hmm.
Very few teenagers really believe their parents are behind their eventual freedom. And if you're giving that signal in many ways, then you may very well have a teenager going, no, I know, I don't like going either, but, you know, I want to go. It's a great thing to see, and too often isn't seen because we don't let go of things as they get older.
Yes. And I've seen that in my own family, and it was hard to let go of. One year there was a big soccer tournament at the same weekend that we had our large family, extended family Christmas. It was the one time a year we all got together with really fun cousins. And I had to give my son the choice, which one are you going to go to? The first year he chose to go to the soccer competition. The second year he decided he was going to hang out with the family because that was more important. So I see that he grew a little bit in his priorities.
Good for you.
And what was important. But it is hard giving them the option. You want everybody to be there. You want everybody to be making the memory together. You know, it's hard to let go of as they age. Well, I have to tell you, this has been a very helpful episode to me personally. I think we've talked through a few things that I had questions in my mind, how to set some boundaries for my own time and my own effort with my kids' activities. And I just appreciate all the words of wisdom that you have, Dr. Ken and Ashley, all of your experiences that you've added in too. I appreciate you guys, and I'm thankful for this conversation because it's actually changing the way I'm parenting.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.